In Colossians, and there's a few scriptures there I want us to pull out of there, but I kind of got two thoughts here as far as pulling them together. If I can hang my hat there, and since we missed last week, just a real quick introduction as I move in to this next thought on bearing fruit for our Lord. That we know that in Romans 10:1, where I read, it said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness." That's what's wrong with the world. Everyone's establishing their own. Doing this, doing that, dressing like that, or giving like this, or there's always these rituals, and it ain't God's way. "Have not submitted themselves into the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone that believeth." And Worsby said this, that they were zealous for God. Ever since Israel returned their land from Babylonian captivity, the nations had been cured of adultery. Now imagine that. The land was cured at this time. In the temple and in the local synagogues, only the true God was worshipped. So they was worshiping according to law, seeing fit. So everything was backed. All the idols was kicked out and they was worshiping like they ought to. So this is really a time of revival for the children of Israel. But now the Messiah has come and they was rejecting him. And only the true law was taught. So zealous were the Jews that even they improved upon God's law and added, listen, they added their own traditions, making them equal to the law. Paul himself had been zealous for the law and traditions. And of course in Romans 3:20, "Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight." So what was wrong with the Jews? They was proud. They were self-righteous. Israel was ignorant of God's righteousness, and because they never been told, but because they refused to learn. There is an ignorance because of lack of opportunity, but Israel had many opportunities to be saved. In their case, it ignorance that stemmed from willful, stubborn resistance to the truth. They heard the truth, but I don't want it. It's not that people today. A lot of people know to be here, but I don't want it. I'll do my church name and I'll do what I think's enough. And that's where they're at. And we know Jesus brought this. We hear of the New World Order. Who's heard of the New World Order? And we know it's a world establishment of governments and laws and everything pulling together. But Jesus did bring in a New World Order. Do you know that? Can anybody tell me what it was? He said, "I come not to do away with the law, but to fulfill it." I'm echoing right there. So on a high mountain place, Jesus climbed up. And there he established a new order. And there he had them to sit down on the grass and he began to teach. Now I'm going to show you some contrast. And remember, the law was given in Moses' time. And when it was given in Moses' time, he gave the law. He went up into a mountain. So I'm going to contrast the two spots here where Jesus was on the mount up here and Moses on the Mount Sinai there. And they said, some folks say it was, and some commentators say that it's the new Mount Sinai, but we can't, there's no comparison, but it's, the contrast is unique when we see it. But now here in Colossians, let's read together. Let's start here at verse 9 and we'll read down into it. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing." That's what you were saying, Brother Allen, right there. "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." So here we're to increase in the knowledge of God. So should we read our Bibles every day? You better believe it. I mean, it's all the way, it's everywhere we look, we're to increase in the knowledge of God. Strengthen, verse 11, with all might unto his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering. There's that fruit of the Spirit again, always popping up and showing itself, ain't it? With all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. You got trouble with temptation? You got trouble with failure in your own flesh? Right here. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. So look at this. This is a very powerful statement given here, that we have this unction from the Holy One who strengthens us, that allows us to be walking away. As you wanted to, I'm going to knock his head off, one more word, and he said another word, I'm going to knock it, but you didn't. God's enabling grace bridled, and our mouth is one, sometimes just keep her shut, keep the door shut, don't shoot the bullet, don't let it out the barrel, because once you squeeze the trigger, the bullet ain't coming back, it's gone. And it's going to hit its target, and it's going to. And to be mindful, to be careful. Slow to speak, as James said, slow to wrath, and we know these things. Now let's look at this, these comparisons of this new world order. Let's look here together, Matthew 5. And we'll be here for a little while till the Lord says quit. Matthew 5. Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon ever preached. We have heard a lot since I've been saved in 28 years, but this is the greatest sermon ever preached. This is the preacher of all preachers doing his business at best. And as he begins to preach, verse 1, let's read together. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. There's a thought here. Boy, I mean, he went up to a mountain. He always goes up to pray. He always goes yonder to do this, the Mount Transfiguration. He was transfigured. And all these things, you know, there's mountain places that Jesus always went to. And he seen the multitudes, went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples come unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I love that verse right there. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you. What did you just say this morning, brother? You read that verse and I went, well, God, you're right on target this morning. But God's always on target. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. And a lot of times they know you're a Christian. If they know you're a Christian, they're going to say, I'm going to find that button, that magic button to get them in the flesh. And they look for it. They're looking for failure from the child of God. And they tend to go peek for it, look for it, and do their thing. Rejoice, it says, and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now, the contrast here, I want us to look at real quick, just to give us some understanding here. Moses gave the law, and now Jesus is coming, and he's kind of just bringing a whole new matter into hand. Stuff that really don't make sense. I mean, you say, if one smites you, offer him the other. God help us right there. I don't know how that even works. I mean, how do you turn? But it didn't say offer him the other one again, though. So after I offer him that second one, I'm gonna split his nose between his eyes like a... But you know, Jesus' law was totally different. Pray for your enemies. Love them that persecute you. I mean, I'm just like, what? How in the world do you love someone that's your enemy? Love someone that's just totally done evil against you falsely. How do you love them, Brother Artie? That's a tough one. It's allowing that as Jesus... Now listen, everybody that was filled, and there's the key here, and we've been on the fruit of the Spirit. What'd Stephen do when they stoned him? As they was stoning him, he's dying. A stoning was not a pretty sight. It wasn't usually a very quick death. I'd just soon a beheading or take a bullet between the eyes would be a lot quicker. They didn't have bullets. But a stoning was one that is going to make a mockery of you and make you die in a way that you wished you didn't. But Stephen said something to the ones that was throwing the stones. What did he say? He said what? Father, forgive them for they know what... Now, who else said that? Who else said these same words? He was on a cross. And he looked at the ones that persecuted him and who nailed him there and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know what was so significant? We know Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. He was God. He is God. And so we know Stephen, there he is, but here's one significant about his life. He was full of the Holy Ghost. So it's an attribute when somebody is walking in the Spirit of God, they will show this attribute. They do not revile, as you said, revile back not again. They're not, I'll get mad, I'll get even type people. Because they walk in the Spirit of God. They say, God, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Lord says, I will repay. Those are people, children of God, who walk after the Spirit of God. Now the contrast we have here, some said that, like I said, they wanted to said it's the new Mount Sinai, but we know there's no comparison there whatsoever. But one, Moses' time, it was a cloud of smoke. With what? With thunders and lightnings and fire. And the other place where Jesus gives the new law is a sweet smell from the lake that was down below and up on the high place. The birds were singing. Two totally different places. Look at the other thing. The other, and at the one, the multitudes were at a distance. They was forbidden to go up. They drove stakes in the ground. Only Moses and Aaron could go into the cloud. Everybody else is forbidden to come up. The other place where Jesus gives this one, everybody's sitting down at Jesus' feet. Everybody's listening. The other, the message was written in stone. Listen. The others in fleshly tables of the heart. Isn't that interesting? In our hearts, God wrote. Once concerned with what man must not do, the law was given. Man does not do this. You don't do this. The other is what we do do. Blessed are the merciful. All the things that we know there. Listen to this. One is cursed, one who fails. If you failed the law, what happened? If my youngins failed in the law, I'd take my youngin out and I'd watch him be stoned to death. Then me and Mama'd line up and they'd stone us for allowing it. Cursed is anyone that failed the law. Here, blessed is everyone who succeeds. The one when Jesus sat down the hill. One contrast to the other. One, listen, is delivered to the minister of the state, which was Moses. I love this one. This one, the king himself gave it. Woo! Glory. The king himself, he does it in person. I will do it. The other one was the mouthpiece for God giving the law. The greatest contrast of all these lies in the familiar words. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through who? Jesus Christ. John 1:17. So the contrast there, the two, law was given, but Jesus lays down a new foundation. Didn't do away with it. That's our schoolmaster to teach us how God looks at sin. But now he teaches us something totally different. The Sermon on the Mount. And he said, he hath delivered us from the power of darkness. And I'm when they're going to ring that bell, I am right at 10:30. I'm right at it. But remember, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith it shall be salted. You ever grab a salt shaker? And you're in a hurry. Who likes salt on their food? I like salt. Without salt, it's like, blah. I mean, I can eat it, but it's gotta have salt. And you're in a hurry, so you go, and you run down, you sit down, you start eating, and you realize, just salted that dumb thing, but no salt come out of the shaker. It's clogged up or whatever, it gets moisture and it don't come out. I mean, you wasn't watching so much, you just thought five shakes, it usually does it pretty good. And then nothing happens, you gotta get up and go do it again, but the salt is like, we are the salt of the earth. We'll get in more on the Sermon on the Mount, Lord willing, God's help, and see how God help us. And for this new world order that Jesus laid out for us. It's a tough one. John Wesley said if we could develop this on earth, we could set heaven upon earth. That was his exact words. If we could live out the Sermon on the Mount. That's a powerful statement to make something that bold to establish heaven on earth. Because it's a tough one. All right, let's pray. Father, dear God, bless your word. Lord, help us. Help us, dear God, to be mindful that we are the salt. Lord, we're the light. Lord, we're to walk in the Spirit of God. Lord, we're not to revile again. We're to allow you to reign and rule in our footsteps, what our hands do, what our eyes see, how we think. Every emotion in our very fiber and our being, dear God, to walk in that newness of life. For we've been delivered from the power of darkness. Lord, sometimes I think we choose to make excuse, well, God, forgive me anyways, but that ain't where we're supposed to do it. Help us, dear God, I pray. Bless our preacher preaching, dear God. May we hear from heaven. Lord, save that one nearest hell. Oh, God, deliver him today. That religion be thrown out the door and true salvation be set forth in our heart. That the secrets of the heart be made manifest. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Amen.